The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Is the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No, it is not. Because you have the Afghan troops have 300,000 well-equipped as any army in the world, and an air force, against something like 75,000 Taliban. It is not inevitable. But I trust the capacity of the Afghan military, who is better trained, better equipped, and more competent in terms of conducting war.
Your own intelligence community has assessed that the Afghan government will likely collapse.
That is not true. The only way there's ultimately going to be peace and security in Afghanistan is that they work out a modus vivendi with the Taliban, and they make a judgment as to how they can make peace.
Some Vietnamese veterans see echoes of their experience in this withdrawal in Afghanistan. Do you see any parallels between this withdrawal and what happened in Vietnam with some people feeling?
None whatsoever. Zero. What you had is you had entire brigades breaking through the gates of our embassy. Six, if I'm not mistaken. The Taliban is not the North Vietnamese army. They're not remotely comparable in terms of capability. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of a embassy of the United States from Afghanistan. It is not at all comfortable. So the question now is, where do they go from here? That the jury is still out. But the likelihood there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely.
It's hard to describe how profoundly wrong that fake administration was over the past few months. It's hard to describe the significance of what happened yesterday, August 15th, in Afghanistan. Even the mainstream media, for as much coverage as they give to the Biden administration, the propaganda press could not even sugarcoat this one. You heard it if you were listening to the FSN news update. They're not normally the most conservative update, but even they could not explain it. There was no spin. They called it an unmitigated disaster. They said the Biden administration was spinning the narrative. August 15th, 2021 is a significant date in world history. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. I'm Sam Livingston. I'll be your guest host on today's show. Mr. Stephen Fleury is taking the orientation lectures for the start of the college semester here on campus. So I have the show today, and we're going to get into what happened in Afghanistan over the past 36 hours. This has been one of the most significant events, I would say, of a lot of our lifetimes. We all remember 9/11. I was just a little kid at the time. I remember my grandfather watching the TV, he said, this is all they're going to talk about for the next 4 or 5 years. And we went into Afghanistan, and who would have thought 20 years later, we're still talking about, who would have thought it would end like this? Well, if you're familiar with the Trumpet, this is the message that we have been proclaiming for 30 years. Going back to Mr. Armstrong, it stretches back 70 or 80 years. America has won its last war. America will not win another war. The United States entered Afghanistan on October 7th, 2001. Nearly $1 trillion spent there over the past 20 years. 2,500 U.S. troops died. 4,000 U.S. contractors died. And now the war is over. We're leaving. We're fleeing. And it's an utter catastrophe, an unmitigated disaster, like the news update said just a few minutes ago. Not only is this a significant and profound loss for America, but it will likely help bolster America's enemies. We're building up the empires that the Bible says will come against the United States and Britain. We'll talk about the impact on Europe towards the end of this program, the impact it's having on China and on Russia. This is the end of the American superpower. It's over. You would think that this would have been wall-to-wall coverage over the past week. How did the Biden administration get it so wrong? They were saying weeks ago, we played the montage. Mr. Fleury played that on Friday. This is not going to be like Saigon. And they were right. This is much, much worse than what happened in Vietnam. We'll talk about that a little later as well. But on August 13th, this is what the Biden administration was concerned about. Homeland Security, they issued a terror alert. And perhaps this would be a terror alert against Taliban or Al-Qaeda. And they're rising fast. We're going to issue a terror alert. The Chiron on NBC News, it read, National Terrorism Alert ahead of the 9/11 20th anniversary. This is the 20th anniversary. And this is what the Department of Homeland Security was warning Americans about. Please play clip two.
A new terror alert has been issued by Homeland Security tonight. Pete Williams is here. Pete, what do we know about this?
Well, DHS says this new terrorism advisory is not based on any actual threats or plots, but it says there's a rise in anti-government rhetoric. Some of it is opposition to COVID public health rules like mask and vaccine measures. Some calls for violent action are based on claims of election fraud or a belief that Donald Trump can be reinstated. And DHS says the coming 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks and religious holidays later this year could be catalysts for violence.
They're spending all of their time attacking ordinary citizens. This is the government of the United States of America. I saw that screenshot on Friday. I thought it was fake. Did the terrorists just take over the government? They're warning people about 9/11 memorials and religious observances. You're a terror threat if you believe the election was stolen. They are the enemies of this country, and they're in control. And you'd think they would have been warning people, or at least telling or being more transparent about what was happening in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, over the past 2 months, we got no details from this administration on how they planned to evacuate tens of thousands of U.S. citizens and Afghanistan citizens that helped the U.S. military over the last 20 years. They couldn't spell out the plan, but they have plenty of time to go after American protesters, to warn about the terror threat posed by people keeping 9/11 memorials. Last week, the Biden administration said the capital of Afghanistan, Kabul, could fall in months. They were saying that 7 days ago. It could be 3 months. Then that turned into, well, it could be a few weeks. Then it turned into days. And then on Sunday, they said the Taliban is going to be in Kabul in 36 hours. 36 hours. And that was right after the Taliban had taken the city of Jalalabad. And that was just 3 hours east of Kabul. And when they took that city, the administration was saying, we've got 36 hours before they arrive. Now, anyone can get on Google Maps and they can Google search the distance between those two cities, and it's under 3 hours. You don't need to be a member of the CIA to do that. How did the intelligence get it so wrong? You couldn't try to be this wrong. Just hours after they said that, this was on Sunday, the Taliban arrived in Kabul. The U.S. Embassy was frantically burning documents. There's chaos at the airport as people realize what was happening. The terrorists are taking over. The United States is retreating, and they're not helping anyone. It wasn't long before the president of Afghanistan, he fled. This is the commander of the military that we helped train for 20 years. He fled immediately. He didn't say where he was going. The Afghan military, we gave them control of Bagram Air Force Base. This was the headquarters of the war on terror over the past two decades. At one point, this airbase housed 100,000 U.S. troops. Mr. Fleury spoke about that on Friday. The United States left in the middle of the night, didn't even tell the Afghan commander they were leaving. They took a lot of the large weaponry, but a lot of small arms were left behind, a lot of vehicles. So they left that in the possession of the Afghan military. And that base was taken over just a couple hours after the capital city was taken by Kabul. And on that base is a prison containing 5,000 terrorists. The Afghan military is supposed to watch them. Terrorists that troops died to capture over the last two decades. 5,000 members of the Taliban, of Al-Qaeda, of ISIS. They are all free because the Afghan military surrendered that base to the Taliban. You could look up that base on your own. It's a city. Who knows how long the Taliban will be able to be supplied just from that base alone, what is on that base? 5,000 terrorists all released. A huge surge for the Taliban militants. This is from the Associated Press. Just yesterday, Kabul was gripped by panic. Helicopters raced overhead throughout the day to evacuate personnel from the U.S. Embassy. Smoke rose near the compound as staff destroyed important documents and the American flag was lowered. Several other Western missions also prepared to pull their embassy members out. Commercial flights were suspended after sporadic gunfire erupted at the Kabul airport, according to two senior U.S. military officials. Evacuations continued on military flights, but the halt to commercial traffic closed off one of the last routes available for fleeing Afghans. Many people watched in disbelief as helicopters landed in the U.S. Embassy compound to take diplomats to a new outpost at the airport. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken rejected comparisons to the U.S. pullout from Vietnam. Exactly the same scene that they said would not happen. We will not be rushed to evacuate. There's a plan. We'll be out before the Taliban takes over. And yesterday, the helicopters are landing at the embassy compound, just like in Saigon. Remember what Joe Biden said. This is clip three.
There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of a embassy of the United States from Afghanistan.
And there's the picture. No circumstance where you're going to see that happen. It's hard to believe they were this wrong. You couldn't try to be that wrong. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes. It seems like this is almost by design. A tremendous failure. Continuing from the Associated Press, they write, in a stunning rout, the Taliban seized nearly all of Afghanistan in just over a week. Despite the billions of dollars spent by the U.S. and NATO over nearly 20 years to build up Afghan security forces, just days earlier, an American military assessment estimated that the capital would not come under insurgent pressure for a month. They were saying that on Thursday and Friday. And like I said, you just get on Google Maps and you look at where they are, and they're a few hours' drive out of the city. You don't have to be in the CIA to know that. Continuing on here, it says the fall of Kabul marks the final chapter of America's longest war, which began after September 11th, 2001, after the September 11th, 2001 terror attacks. A U.S.-led invasion dislodged the Taliban and beat them back, but America lost focus on the conflict and the chaos of the Iraq War. 20 years on from the anniversary of those attacks, and the Taliban is right back where it was before we went over there. They protected Al-Qaeda. Everyone knows that. Those militants that our troops sacrificed their lives to capture, they're running free. America's strength was spent in vain. That is what your Bible says. This defeat is in Bible prophecy. Rumors are there are at least 10,000 U.S. citizens still in Kabul waiting to be evacuated. There are roughly 40 to 50,000 Afghans who were friendly to the U.S. military over the last two decades, translators, other employees at the embassy. No one has explained how they will be taken or evacuated. 10,000 Americans. How did it happen that this was not planned better? How did it happen that we couldn't fight the Taliban back and say, you stay back there until we get all of our people out? They said it's hard enough to process visas when the embassy is running. They've had to flee from the U.S. embassy, set up a makeshift embassy at the airport, and this is where the 5,000 troops are, and they're standing guard to just protect that airstrip so they can process tens of thousands of visas for these Afghans before they get slaughtered by the Taliban. You see in that picture, you see Afghans. These are the ones where they know if they stay, they're going to be killed. And they are risking their lives to get out, clawing up the stairs to get into these planes. There is one report of a plane that could hold 300 people. It had 1,000 people packed into it. A total disaster. The Associated Press, this article is titled, Game Over. Westerners Rush to Leave Kabul, Rescue Afghans. U.S. reports of gunfire at the airport threatened to shut down one of the last avenues of escape in an ever more chaotic and compressed evacuation. As of this morning, there are reports of 5 people being killed at the airport. The United States abandoned Bagram Air Force Base. They could at least have airlifted people over there. That's under the control of the Taliban. And this is where we have been pushed to, is this airstrip at the international airport. And it's being flooded by tens of thousands of potential refugees now at this point. It's total chaos. Commercial flights have stopped. The Afghanis are crowding the runway, flooding planes. And at the end of it yesterday, you had Al Jazeera, based out of Qatar, broadcasting the message from the leadership of the Taliban to the entire world. We're in control now. They're in the presidential palace. One of those Taliban leaders in that broadcast said, I was a former Guantanamo Bay prisoner. These are the people that American troops died to capture, that we had captured. And Barack Obama, he made that trade. He made that prisoner swap. He said, these people will not find their way back out onto the battlefield. And here they are, right back where we took them from. They said in that statement that they're awaiting the arrival of their leadership from Qatar. That's where Obama sent the Guantanamo Bay prisoners. He said they won't escape. He sent them to Qatar, however you say it. And now they're waiting the arrival of their leadership from that country. That nation is closely allied with Iran. That's where Al Jazeera is based out of. One American veteran, he organizes contractors to work with Afghan military officials. He said, this is murder by incompetence. He's trying to get one of his employees out of the country. And the United States has put a shelter-in-place order. Don't come to the airport. Totally shameful. Completely abandoned. And this is what the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, this is what he said on Saturday as this situation was crumbling. Clip 4.
Clearly, the concern here is that the Taliban, and this is also, I assume, why you're relocating people to the airport, that the Taliban would overwhelm and take over that embassy compound.
Look, this is standard operating procedure in any such situation. There are plans in place. If we're leaving an embassy compound, relocating our people to another place, to take all of those steps, the ones that you just listed. So this is exactly what we would do in any of these situations. And again, this is being done in a very deliberate way, It's being done in an orderly way, and it's being done with American forces there to make sure we can do it in a safe way.
Respectfully, not much about what we're seeing seems too orderly or standard operating procedure. I just last month, President Biden said that under no circumstance, and that was his word, those were his words, under no circumstance were the U.S. personnel, embassy personnel, be airlifted out of Kabul in a replay of the scenes that we saw in Saigon in 1975. So isn't that exactly what we're seeing now? I mean, even the images are evocative of what happened in Vietnam.
Let's take a step back. This is manifestly not Saigon. The fact of the matter is this. We went to Afghanistan 20 years ago with one mission in mind, and that was to deal with the people who attacked us on 9/11. And that mission has been successful. We brought bin Laden to justice a decade ago. Al-Qaeda, the group that attacked us, has been vastly diminished. Its capacity to attack us again from Afghanistan has been, right now, does not exist.
The propaganda press cannot even cover this one up. That doesn't look orderly. That looks like chaos. Blinken there, he said, this is standard operating procedure. There are plans in place. This is being done in an orderly and deliberate way. This is manifestly not Saigon. He's right. It's worse. Thousands of times worse. If you're watching the stream, you can see the footage of these Afghanis fleeing. They're on the tarmac trying to get out of this country, and there are planes running through them. They're grabbing onto the wheels of these planes and taking off with them. There's footage of a human being holding onto the wheel of this plane as it takes off and falling 1,000 feet. And there was no way the United States could delay the evacuation a little bit to help these people who helped us for 20 years. It's far worse than Saigon. It's the end of the American empire. Who will ever trust the United States again? Look at this footage if you have a chance to get on the video stream. Stunning. What the American empire is allowing to happen. Joe Biden, he said on July 8th, there's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of the embassy of the United States from Afghanistan. Well, we got that and then some. How are they so wrong? This is a clip of Anthony Blinken. This is July 7th, just a month and a half ago. Play clip 5.
I don't think that the fact that our forces are withdrawing, one, we're not withdrawing. We're staying. The embassy is staying. Our programs are staying. We're working to make sure that other partners stay. We're building all of that up. And whatever happens in Afghanistan, if there is a significant deterioration in security, that could well happen. We've discussed this before. I don't think it's going to be something that happens from a Friday to a Monday.
Like Mr. Fleury said on Friday, you just believe the opposite of what they tell you. We are not withdrawing. We are staying. The embassy is staying. Our programs are staying. If there is a deterioration in security, I don't think it's something that's going to happen from Friday to Monday, and that's exactly what happened. It took 24, 36 hours for the Taliban to rage through these cities completely or without firing a single shot. The Afghan military just retreated, gave up. The United States is too afraid to engage. They're just securing the little outpost at the airport there and hoping the Taliban just leaves them alone while they terrorize this city. General Milley, remember him? He's the one that said, I really want to understand white rage. This is a general. And rather than trying to inform the American public on what's happening in Afghanistan, he's talking about critical race theory and how he's read Karl Marx and communism because we need to understand these things. On July 21st, he said, the Afghan security forces have the capacity to sufficiently fight and defend their country. He was dead wrong, and he knew it, because there are plenty of other analysts at the time that said this is not true. If you take the United States out and you take out all of the U.S. contractors who are helping the Afghan Air Force, they will crumble in days. And that's exactly what Biden wanted. He said, take out all foreign troops. America abandoned ship, left the Afghan Air Force stranded. $90 billion spent training the Afghan military. And you would have thought after 20 years, they would have gained enough intelligence to figure out that the Afghan military lacks the will to fight and they need our leadership. They knew that. They just left anyway. See ya, wouldn't want to be ya. That's the message America is sending to Afghanistan after we asked for their trust for 20 years, after we spent $1 trillion. It is strength spent in vain. And you would think, 20 years, how long does it take to train to be an airplane mechanic? Probably a good 8 to 10 years, I would think. So where are all of these people that we were supposed to be training? Why are they so dependent after all that time on U.S. contractors? We were spending upwards of $4 billion a year to train the Afghan military, which collapsed in 3 days. They were one of the most well-funded militaries on the planet because the United States was paying almost the entire budget. How did the intelligence fail this badly that they couldn't see that, yeah, if we leave Bagram Air Base and we pull out the contractors, it's going to be like that before the Taliban is in there? Where was all that money spent? How much corruption was happening in this country? And again, the Biden administration is spinning the narrative and telling you something completely different from what your eyes see. This is a clip of John Kirby. He's the spokesman for the Pentagon, clip 6.
And I want to say at the outset, and I probably should have said this yesterday, you guys know that this is a planning organization. That's what we do here. Planning for these sorts of contingencies is not unusual. In fact, it's quite common. And one of the reasons why we have been able to react as quickly as we did in just the last day or so is because we had plenty of contingency planning in the works, and in fact, a lot of it complete, because we were, and as I've said many times from the podium, watching consistently the security situation on the ground.
What were they watching? This is the contingency plan to have 10,000 Afghanis flooding the airstrip, killing each other, trampling one another to get out. They couldn't have done it the other way where they left Bagram Air Force Base in U.S. control so that there would be a chance for air support to get there faster, to maybe bomb the Taliban a little bit to slow them down so that we could process the tens of thousands of visas to get our people out. The former ambassador to Afghanistan, Ryan Crocker, he said, I'm left with some grave questions in my mind about Joe Biden's ability to lead our nation as commander-in-chief. To have read this so wrong, or even worse, to have understood what was likely to happen and not care. This is from Jason Meister. He used to work on the Trump Advisory Board, and he's an opinion writer. He says, you can't do this level of damage to a nation in such a short period of time unless it's by design. It's impossible to believe these bureaucrats, with the power of the intelligence state, with all that money behind them, that they are this clueless. They're destroying America's reputation. This is exactly what the Antiochus, the Obama administration, was doing. Remember what Blinken said? This is just standard procedure. This is the contingency plan. Joe Biden said the same thing when those Iranians took over a U.S. military boat, held 10 U.S. troops at gunpoint, made a woman wear a headscarf, and made them speak in Farsi. And Joe Biden said, that's all just standard nautical procedure. This is Obama's third term, and he's destroying America faster than he did in the last, in his first 8 years. This person, that Jason Meister, he just listed some things that about the failures in the past 7 months. He says, Taliban leadership enter presidential palace in Kabul. Migrant encounters at U.S.-Mexico border at 21-year high. U.S. gas prices highest in 7 years, up 40% since January. Inflation is the highest it's been in nearly 13 years. And where is the fake president? Where is Joe Biden? He's at Camp David. His White House announced yesterday that we can expect, that the American people can expect to hear an address from him in the next few days about the crisis in Afghanistan. In the next few days, August 15th, probably one of the biggest, will be remembered as one of the biggest failures in American history. And he doesn't even say a word. He issues a printed statement published on the White House website blaming Donald Trump for all of it, and we haven't heard a word from him. They announced today that he will be speaking tonight. They announced that just an hour or two ago. He wasn't scheduled to come back until Wednesday, and who knows where Kamala Harris is. Maybe she is actually the one over this evacuation plan. It's failed so miserably. The Associated Press writes, General Mark Milley, white rage. I want to understand white rage. That's this general, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, told senators on a briefing call Sunday that U.S. officials are expected to alter their earlier assessments about the pace of terrorist groups reconstituting in Afghanistan. Based on the evolving situation, officials believe terror groups like al-Qaeda may be able to grow much faster than expected. Obama covered all of that up in 2012 and 2011. Michael Flynn, he was kicked out because he was trying to expose that. Blinken said it again in that soundbite we played earlier. We have achieved our goals. Al-Qaeda, they're down, and we killed Osama bin Laden. It was called the War on Terror, and we have completely failed. They think now al-Qaeda will be able to grow much faster than expected. And we're just, what? Three, four weeks away from the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Nancy Pelosi tweeted yesterday, the president, Joe Biden, is to be commended for the clarity of purpose of his statement on Afghanistan and his action. The Taliban must know the world is watching its actions. We are concerned about reports regarding the Taliban's brutal treatment of all Afghans, especially women and girls. The international community is watching you, Taliban terrorists. They're watching you as if they care. What a stunning embarrassment. And on one hand, they say, this is awful and it's President Trump's fault. And then on the other hand, well, it's not so bad. We had contingency plans. Donald Trump was actually the one that wrote up this plan, so we were just following what he said. Now, it's hard to know what would have happened under President Trump. It seems inevitable that the Taliban would have eventually taken control of Afghanistan. It was a matter of timing, though. Why rush it to where you don't even have the 10,000 American citizens evacuated? Are we just going to leave those 40,000 Afghanis there to be tortured by the Taliban? President Trump, he wanted to do this in 2020, but the expert generals like General Milley, he said, do not do it. And he listened. He listened to the experts as much as Alexander Vindman says that he doesn't. President Trump listened, and he didn't withdraw the troops. Why? Well, they said the Taliban was rising faster than they thought. And then Joe Biden gets in, and the generals say, yes, go ahead. Pull them all out. The Taliban is taking cities without firing a single shot. Everyone is just giving up. Even the Americans won't fight. Mitch McConnell said, this is the embarrassment of a superpower laid low. This is the end of a superpower. Those scenes fleeing from that airport, and the Trumpet has been writing about it for two decades. The cover of the January 2014 Trumpet magazine, What Happens After a Superpower Dies. And on the cover of that magazine, it has a tombstone, the United States of America, 1776-2, and then the date is covered up. It may very well be that you could put August 15th, 2021 on that tombstone. It says, what happens next? Life in the post-American world. The Wall Street Journal. This is probably the strongest article I've ever read from them. They said, the title of this article is Biden's Afghanistan Surrender. President Biden's statement on Saturday, washing his hands of Afghanistan, deserves to go down as one of the most shameful in history by a commander-in-chief at such a moment of American retreat. They write, the jihadists the U.S. toppled 20 years ago for sheltering Osama bin Laden will now fly their flag over the U.S. embassy, building on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. The timing couldn't be better. This is from the Journal's editorial board, and they write articles, very influential articles. They write, our goal all along has been to offer constructive advice to avoid this outcome. We criticized Donald Trump's deal with the Taliban and warned about the risks of his urge to withdraw in a rush, and we did the same for Mr. Biden. The president's advisors offered an alternative, as did the Afghanistan study group. Mr. Biden has always, too, assured, as always, too assured of his own foreign policy acumen, refused to listen. And President Trump, he said, well, the Taliban, they're not abiding by their end of the deal, so we're not going to pull out the way we said we would. And then here comes Joe Biden. He says, I just have to follow the deal my predecessor wrote up, as if he takes that approach to every other thing, as if he just wants to carry out President Trump's will. He has no problem destroying all of the progress made over the last 4 years. But when it comes to this, he's got to play it by the book. They write about this letter that Joe Biden published on Saturday. Didn't speak, didn't say anything, just published this letter. They write, note that Mr. Biden is more critical of his predecessor than he is of the Taliban. The president has spent 7 months ostentatiously overturning one Trump policy after another on foreign and domestic policy. Yet, he now claims Afghanistan policy is the one he could do nothing about. This is a pathetic denial of his own agency, and it's also a false choice. It's as if Winston Churchill, with his troops surrounded at Dunkirk, had declared that Neville Chamberlain got him into this mess, and the British had already fought too many wars on the continent. We can't do anything about it. The deal is what the deal is. That is a lack of will. It's a curse. God has destroyed the pride in our power, and it might even be a lot deeper than that. It might be that this administration, by design, is trying to destroy America's reputation and embolden and empower our enemies. The Journal writes, Mr. Trump's withdrawal deadline was a mistake, but Mr. Biden could have maneuvered around it. He knows this because his administration conducted an internal policy review that provided him with options. The Taliban had already violated its pledge under the deal. Instead, Biden ordered a rapid and total withdrawal at the onset of the annual fighting season in time for the symbolic target date of 9/11. It says the Biden administration was far too slow to get them out of the country. These are the U.S. embassy workers and all of the friendly Afghanistan citizens. He was too slow to get them out despite urgent warnings. The murder of these innocents will compound the stain on the Biden presidency. The consequences of all this will play out over many months and years, and none will be good. The illusion indulged on the left and right that the U.S. can avoid the world's horrors while gardening its entitlement state is sure to come home to haunt. Advisors are taking Mr. Biden's measure, and there will be more trouble ahead. The costs will be all the more painful because the ugliness of this surrender was so unnecessary. America is done. The policeman is gone, and it will be a free-for-all in the Middle East. This is what the Trumpet wrote about, has written about for decades, and it tells you also what's going to happen. Watch Europe and watch Iran. In the Associated Press, their article that I quoted from earlier, they quote from German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas, and he says, it's difficult to endure watching how quickly the Taliban took control of Afghanistan and how little government troops were able to do to stop them. And Mr. Fleury has written, Germany has a big interest in entering into these nations surrounding Iran. The Wall Street Journal, their article published yesterday, is titled, Afghanistan Takeover by Taliban Worries Governments in the Region. In the region and Europe, that chaos will spread. The collapse of the Afghan government and takeover of the country by the Taliban is stirring concern in foreign capitals that chaos and instability engulfing the country could spill over to its neighbors and possibly drive a tide of refugees as far as Europe. The foreign minister of Austria said, conflict and instability in the region will sooner or later spill over to Europe and thus to Austria. Remember what was going on in 2015? The migrant crisis that brought Europe and Germany to its knees? We might be back at it again. Is Germany really going to let that happen again? Merkel made that tragic decision, tragic politically for her career, to welcome, I think it was 1.5 million refugees into the country. What are they going to do this time? Are they going to try to stop it at its source? This is continuing on from that Wall Street Journal article. German politicians and commentators have already started discussing how to deal with refugees fleeing Afghanistan, especially civilians who worked for German forces in the country in various capacities, such as translators. Markus Söder, the Bavarian prime minister and leader of the Christian Social Union, he's the junior partner in German Chancellor Angela Merkel's conservative alliance, told Bild newspaper that the Taliban's apparent return to power was one of the greatest defeats in Western politics. Germany is watching what's happening here. They have troops there. They have people they want to evacuate. How coordinated was the Biden administration with all of these other nations? Probably couldn't have been very coordinated if they left Bagram Air Base in the middle of the night without even telling the incoming commander who is responsible for the base. You think they told Germany or even Britain? They just left. Backstabbing our allies. Abandoning all of those people who helped over 20 years. Richard Palmer has an article published, I think it's at the top of the Trumpet website right now, talking about the reaction from the international community. The Chinese Communist Party said, America's defeat proves that Washington is an unreliable partner that always abandons its partners or allies to seek self-interest. And a former ambassador said, America's credibility as an ally is diminished. Richard writes, unless America acts quickly to rescue the situation, August 15, 2021 could become a milestone in global politics. Just as Britain's withdrawal from Suez in 1956 officially signaled the end of the British Empire as a world power, 2021 will likely fundamentally change the world's view of America. Melanie Phillips writes, America's allies can now see that the U.S. is a faithless friend, the weak link in the chain of Western defenses, and with untold consequences for their own security. She writes that America is on its knees. And where have you heard this message? Where have you heard it for, I mean, Mr. Armstrong was writing about America's lack of will right after the Korean War. And it was there before World War I and World War II. The United States had to be bombed and begged to enter into those wars. In the King of the South booklet, Mr. Fleury wrote, What the U.S. has done is truly stunning. This is, I think, referring to Kosovo. He writes, President Clinton worked to make Germany the lead nation in Europe, or the king of the north in biblical terminology. Now the Obama administration is doing the same thing to strengthen Iran and to crown it king of the south. How can we possibly make any sense out of America's foreign policy? We are helping our enemies. That destabilized Afghanistan, where now it will be a place where terrorists can just run free. They have a huge border with Iran. The Iranians have provided support for the Taliban for decades. We handed Iraq 5 or 6 years ago over to the Iranians, and it looks like Afghanistan could go too. We'll see. We'll see what Germany and Europe's response is. Maybe even Russia and China. They're nervous about that place. Empires have tried to take it over millennia, and no one can be successful there. Leviticus 26 and verse 20 says, "And your strength shall be spent in vain." Verse 19 says, "And I will break the pride of your power." These losses, that footage of those poor Afghan citizens chasing after that U.S. plane, this is a curse. America's lack of willpower, it's a curse. And it will hurt the world in the long run. "And your strength shall be spent in vain." If you want a pertinent article about what's happening in Afghanistan right now, read Leviticus chapter 26. That chapter describes what's happening in the United States. And it's the Bible that informs the articles that we write at The Trumpet. Mr. Fleury wrote in 2003, "Why We Cannot Win the War Against Terrorism." He wrote in 2013, in an article titled "Watch Algeria," he wrote, "What's wrong with our foreign policy? Do we even have a foreign policy? It's a farce, and the Arabs know it. We tell our soldiers in Afghanistan to be nice to the Taliban terrorists. The terrorists there and throughout the Middle East and Northern Africa know these are statements of weakness. They know that now is the time to take over in Africa and elsewhere. Now is the time for America's enemies." And we saw it happening during the Obama administration. It seemed to be on a pause during the Trump administration. And now the fake Biden administration is going right back. Obama 2.0. We've got dozens of articles describing what you're seeing play out on your TV screens, on the computer. This booklet, "He Was Right," talks all about America's lack of will. The article in there is titled "America Has Won Its Last War." Mr. Armstrong was prophesying about that for decades. And this article titled "The War on Terror," in this pamphlet, we write, "On September 11th, 2001, the U.S. experienced the deadliest attack on American soil since Pearl Harbor. Islamist terrorists killed nearly 3,000 people and plunged the U.S. into full-blown war. From the start, this war was doomed to fail. Consider, to begin, the very definition America gave to it, entrapped in political correctness and thus uncomfortable with any unfavorable portrayals of Islam, America's leaders defined it as a war on terror." And remember George Bush? He said, "We're not going to stop until we kill all of the terrorists." That has not been done. And they never went after the head of the snake, Iran. Mr. Fleury writes, "This is confusing. Terror is not an enemy, but a tactic. Failing to clearly identify Islamist extremism and its chief sponsor nations as the enemy is like defining World War II as a war on blitzkrieg so as not to directly implicate Germany. As a result of America's failure to correctly define the enemy in the years since 2001, the U.S. has effectively done nothing to target Iran or degrade its support of terrorism. The war on terror has actually left Iran stronger. Iran has directed, funded, armed, and personally assisted in the Hamas and Hezbollah attacks that transformed Israel and Lebanon into battlegrounds." We continue on. "Even if the U.S. had won a decisive victory in its campaigns in Afghanistan and Iraq, it would still be far from winning the war on terror. as long as the chief sponsor of Islamist terrorism, the Islamic Republic of Iran, is still in business, the war on terror has not been won. But the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq were far from victories for the United States. In Afghanistan, and I don't remember the exact date of when we wrote this article, but this was many years before yesterday, obviously. It says, in Afghanistan, the Taliban is making a comeback, and the U.S. is even involved in peace talks with the regime it tried to overthrow. Worse, the Taliban has taken over great swaths of Pakistan, putting the entire country and its nuclear arsenal in danger. It was in Pakistan on May 2, 2011, that U.S. troops found and executed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda and top terrorist on the U.S. most wanted list. Bin Laden's death may be cause for celebration for many, but it doesn't leave the world any safer. Bin Laden was the head of Al-Qaeda, not of global terrorism. And where should we be looking next? Where should we watch next? And Mr. Flurry has described these prophecies in Daniel 11. Daniel 11, verse 40 through 41. And in those prophecies, the United States is not mentioned. It's gone. It retreats. A shameful retreat. This is a clip from the Key of David in 2008. It's titled, The Most Mysterious Message. Go ahead and play clip 7.
It seems like the U.S. is pulling out of here and will be pulling out of Afghanistan. And I think Germany and the European Union knows that, and they're concerned about that, and they know that Jerusalem is in jeopardy. And that means a lot to Europe. It's their number one holy site. And it's also a very holy site for the Muslims and for the Christians. So a clash is coming. And it's not a new clash. It's not a new war. This Holy Roman Empire that is rising up in Europe started in 576 AD. So we've been seeing that for some 1,500 years. And this is the seventh head that is now being resurrected, and it is going to be the last one, and it's going to be concluded by the coming of the Messiah.
Watch for that clash. Watch Europe. They're watching what's happening in Afghanistan closely. They see that embarrassing withdrawal. They see that America cannot be trusted. They see that it's betraying its allies, that it can't even plan an evacuation, that it is incompetent, that it lacks the will, that it's spending its strength in vain. Europe knows it's on its own. It has to protect itself. And Bible prophecy explains exactly where this is leading. Like I said, we have dozens of articles on this. Request He Was Right. If you haven't, you can read on the Trumpet website on the Trends tab our article titled, America Has Won Its Last War. And as frustrating as these events are, as sad as it is to see what happened in Afghanistan over the past 3 days, it's also exciting if you understand Bible prophecy, because these prophecies are leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. We are getting closer and closer to His imminent return. And it will wipe out these other governments that think they know how to run the world. And it will establish God's government, that perfect rule, upholding His law. It's sad to see this happen to the United States, but something greater is on the horizon, and we are getting closer to that day. So go ahead and request this literature if you haven't. You can email any comments that you have to the show, td@thetrumpet.com. If you'd like to call to request that literature, you can call 1-866-930-3024. Mr. Flurry should be back for tomorrow's show. Thank you very much for listening.